Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher and Sister Schumacher, for this opportunity to teach the precious Word of God. Vital to our well-being. We have been blessed. We're always blessed here, but I just have to say the last 5 weeks, there has been some outstanding teaching that has come our way, and I believe the Lord wants to reassure his people that you're doing it right, and he wants to encourage us and show us deeper and deeper and deeper that what he has allowed for us to grab a hold of is the right thing, and it's the right thing to stand on. It's the right thing to do. Every day this world lives their life in front of us, and we see all kinds of things going on, and the adversary of your soul and my soul wants to discourage us. But we serve a God who wants to encourage us. And his word and an understanding and depth of his word is exactly what it does, is encourages and bolsters. 11 years that my wife is a survivor of cancer. And when Brother Portman taught what he taught Sunday night, Pastor Portman, I remember, and I had a greater appreciation for the covering on my wife's head and on my daughter's head. I remember when she was diagnosed with cancer, and we stood in our living room, and our oldest daughter took her hair down and took that hair and laid it across my wife's chest, and we prayed in the name of Jesus. And when the doctor did the surgery, he said, I don't know if you're lucky or someone's looking out for you. But when we went in there, there was a calcium deposit that choked out that cancer and killed it. Why? Going a little deeper in God. This message has been confirmed already tonight a number of times. I want to talk to you tonight about another covering. And it's a covering that the devil hates too. It's the blood of Jesus. He hates the woman and the covering that she got from him, but he hates the church, the bride of Christ, and the covering we received from him as well. And the world wants to tell us it's not important, but the Word of God reassures us it is. Amen. If you will open your Bibles tonight to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. I was just here a couple nights ago in this scripture in my living room teaching lesson number 1. We had an awesome time in my living room. There were 5 people sitting there, and I had a lady make a statement, and this isn't about me, it's about the Word of God, and I've heard this statement in my living room already more than this time. And she said, I have learned more in this hour and a half or hour, whatever it was, than I learned 8 years sitting in a denominational school. You know, if I eat the wrong things, I get bigger. There's usually 2 things involved: overeating and it shows. And you know, just because it's a mega church, it doesn't mean that it's eating the right things. The Lord has chosen us for a time such as this to shine his light in this world that is getting darker and darker. And I want to encourage you tonight in the Word of God. You're doing the right thing. Genesis, the 3rd chapter. starting in verse 6. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And notice this, the eyes of them both were open. They saw. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." This is the first time we see afraid or fear in the scriptures, "because I was naked and I hid myself." So in this encounter, we see their eyes were open. They saw and they were afraid because of their disobedience to what the instruction of God told them. Now let's look at another encounter in Luke, the second chapter. And this is a scripture that is read a lot of times at this time of the year. Luke, the second chapter, starting in verse 8. It says, and this is, I have a little heading in my Bible here that says, "The Shepherd's Encounter with Jesus." Adam and Eve had an encounter with God. They saw and were afraid. Verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, doing what they were supposed to do. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Fear of reverence. "And the angel said unto them," reassured them right away, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jumping down to verse 17, it says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child." They couldn't help but publish it. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Verse 20 says, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." In Acts 1 and 9, this is right before Jesus came on the scene, or while he came on the scene, it was seen and heard. There was something exciting that happened. In Acts 1 and 9, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and in a cloud received him out of their sight." When he came in, it was declared, they saw and heard. When he went out, they heard what he said, because right before this, Pastor quoted it, he said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and be witnesses unto me." He was going to endue us and prepare us and equip us with power. I'm glad that we serve a God that allows for us to see and to hear. of His goodness and the things of heaven, the things of another world. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness tonight, Lord. I thank You for every person that is here tonight, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to look into Your Word, Lord. Look into a sure foundation in this world, Lord, that's spiraling out of control. Lord, I am so thankful that You give Your people and Your church something firm to stand on, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, that You would open our minds and our understanding. Help me, Lord, to simply be the conduit that You flow through tonight in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, the Bible says the eyes in our opening text of them were both opened, or there was a new outlook, and they knew that they were naked, and that word new means to know carnally. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So immediately they became industrious and wanted to cover things their own way. When the Lord came to do the examination and ask Adam, "Where are you?" He wasn't doing that to find out where he was. He knew where he was, but perhaps giving him a chance to come clean and let him know what he did. So they feared. They were afraid. There was no reassurance here. No, fear not, Adam. Like the shepherds received a reassurance where they were, "I'm about to give you good tidings." But something happened. They made themselves aprons, and that's to do or to accomplish, to exercise fashion, be industrious, deal with, or to attend to put in order. Because of sin, they became self-governed, self-focused, self-accomplished, and did what they thought would fix the situation. When God gave them the chance, instead of bringing it up, they tried to cover it up because they knew that what they did was wrong. And we know how that story goes. They made themselves aprons. Apron is a belt or a loincloth, a belt for the waist. It's a loin covering, an apron. Further on in that scripture, in this encounter, the Bible says in Genesis 3 and 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them." So, coats of skin, he did not put them in fur coats. This word skin here simply means animal skin or human skin. It was simply the hide. It was skin for a purpose. And he clothed them, and then he sent them out of the garden with the coat that he made for them. He designed the covering. "No, I'm sorry, Adam, the fig leaf will not cover it. That's your way, but let me clothe you with what I feel is proper." And what I believe is that he put something on them. They did not die right away. He put something on them that once they were put out of the garden, they had a covering on them that allowed for them to survive outside of the garden. I wonder what everybody else thought when they saw what they were wearing. Because I guarantee you they didn't have the same type of covering that Adam and Eve had. It was a skin or a hide. See, God covers and protects his own. In Genesis 7 and 16, the Bible says, as far as Noah and the ark, he says, when Noah was in the ark, the Lord shut the door. The Lord closed them in. The Lord covered them. The Lord has you and has I covered in a way that will allow for us to survive in the elements. I think it was Brother Lemke that talked about the ark. I believe it was him, and he said, you know, things weren't perfect in the ark, but if you consider what was going on the outside of the ark, it was something that was was acceptable. It kept them. So God covers and protects his own. It's with a precious blood. Galatians 3 and 27 says, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Peter 3 and 21 says, it's the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So every time we're baptized in the name of Jesus, we come up out of the water. When somebody's baptized in the name, Christ is resurrected in our lives. He's resurrected in us, but also twofold, he allows for someone else to be resurrected because of what he gives us to share with them. So Christ is resurrected in us, and then we are used in a process to get somebody else to the same place that someone took us to. Resurrected and made alive. Are you with me? Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. So just think of this. It's the like figure whereunto it does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. Here's what I want you to see. Adam and Eve felt shame because they did what was wrong, and they hid from God because they were ashamed and feared because they did wrong. But now it's turned around, and when we do right according to the Word of God, not only is he resurrected in our life, but there's no shame and guilt, and those things from the past are washed away, and our conscience is made. We're not, when we hear the voice of God and the Word of God, we're excited now. We're not ashamed or afraid to hear it. It's full circle. So I never saw it that way, that now we can look forward to hearing the Word of God and the voice of God and the instruction of God. So coming up out of the water, we're resurrected in him. So it's interesting that when Jesus paid the ultimate price for you and I, it was a physically and emotionally hard situation for us, for him. He took a beating, and it was an ugly beating. And then he was refused by his own people, the ones that he loved and that supposedly loved him. But it was also total humiliation, because he was not clothed when he hung on that cross. He hung there in shame in front of all those that knew him. That was total humiliation, right down to the nakedness or the skin. He took it all the way back to the garden like Adam did, and was on that cross and shamed in nakedness, so that he could get total victory for you and I. And then that blood was applied to us, and it was like a new skin that we put on, because as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. He now is on us. And then he puts the power in us, like he says in Acts 1 and 8. So just like the ark that was sealed on the inside and on the outside to preserve it from the elements, so too does he have now his creation, mankind, because he went all the way back to the beginning and got the victory over that. There was no shame in it anymore. Now it was a like figure, and our consciences were cleaned because of the price that he paid. The resurrection came with the price. Three times Peter denied him. Three times before they crucified him, the Bible says that the people rejected him. Luke 23 and 22, it says, "And he said unto them a third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." This was Pilate speaking, and then Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he gave his life for you and I. Physically beaten, emotionally tore up, and humiliated. So that you and I could be made anew. And that covering was paid for with an ultimate price. But this world wants to lessen it and make it something less than it is, and tell people that you don't need that, it's not necessary. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And you know what else is interesting? Is three times it was said that this man had no flaw in him. Even Judas, when he took the coins back, he said that he had falsely destroyed or came against innocent blood. And then Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." And then Pilate washed his hands in the blood and said, "His blood be on your hands. The blood of this just man." Denied three times by Peter and three times by the people. But three times also spoken that he was a just man and free of sin. Further on in Scripture, when Eve gives birth to her sons Cain and Abel, and Cain murders Abel, the Lord asks him, "What have you done with your, am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said this, "The voice of his blood crieth from the ground." You see, I want to read you a commentary. I can't take credit for this out of my Bible. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, I'm sorry, Matthew, the 27th chapter. You see, verse 24, it says, "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children. And I've heard many things preached and taught about this scripture, but here's what I would like you to see. Even more ironically, what the crowd called for in hatred, which was the blood of Jesus, and hatred, they wanted him crucified, he would indeed allow for his blood to be poured out upon them in love. In hatred, they called for it. In love, he allowed for it to be poured out. And with that blood applied to our lives, the blood of Jesus cries to this world. People know that there's something different about the children of God, and it all begins with that covering of his blood in our lives. It makes us different. It changes things in our lives. And his blood cries to him in our worship. His blood cries to him in our prayer. His blood cries to him, his blood that's on us, in our trials and tribulations. His blood has a voice. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was the voice of mercy from Calvary. And that same mercy that cried to this world now is the same mercy that flows from us to them. Applied to our lives. And like the shepherds who couldn't help but talk about what they heard and saw, couldn't wait to publish it. I've been in a season for about 5 weeks. And Pastor Schumacher preached a message on a Sunday night that so encouraged me about the love of God. Because I let pressures and things of this world wear me down. And I'm just going to be transparent with you and tell you that I didn't even feel like I was a child of God anymore. Not because of sin, but because of being wore down and being distracted by all the pressures of life and the pressures of the workplace. And then it was this very scripture and this very teaching about the Word of God and the blood of Jesus applied to our lives. And he started taking me back to the very beginning and reminding me of who I really was in him. And he reminded me how the world hated him and his as well, the disciples. And so why would you think they'll love you? But sometimes you do what's right and you get barraged from every side for standing for what's right. But please let me tell you, continue to stand for what's right. Now, aprons, you will find that word only twice in the entire Bible. That word aprons. Once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Adam and Eve made themselves aprons or fig leaves to try to cover their sin. So one time it's used to hide sin, and the other time in Acts 19 and 12, when the Bible talks about them bringing handkerchiefs and aprons to the sick to heal them, the Lord took from way back in the beginning, what was used to try to cheapen his creation and allow for them to make their own way, and he punched the adversary in the nose with that too, because what was used to hide in the Old Testament, he used to heal in the New Testament. The first time man independently created something with his hands to try and hide his shame, But the second time, God worked through the hands of a man to do special miracles to the sick, and diseases departed and evil spirits went out of them. Because now the Lord was working with them and through them. They had the covering. The blood was applied. The Spirit was within. And now he took everything back. Aprons wouldn't be a disgrace and a cheap way out anymore. Now they would be used to heal and to change. You see, over and over in Scripture, the Lord was consistent with his church that it was going to be nothing hidden, it was going to be nothing done their own way or with their own efforts, but it was going to be God working through them to others to declare and to see his goodness. Luke 2, it says, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." If you'll remember in Luke, the second chapter, when John was imprisoned and he was worried about, is this the Lord or do we look for another? And his disciples came to Jesus and asked him, and Jesus answering in Luke 7 and 22 said, "Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." Notice the last thing he mentioned was the gospel being preached unto the poor, or the destitute, or the needy. It's a priority of the Lord's that once we've seen and heard of his goodness, that we take it forth to others. Acts 2 and 33, Peter's explanation before preaching that first message of salvation. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear." He always proclaimed, and we heard, and then there was a sign. There was something to see, something tangible. Acts 4 and 20, Peter and John facing opposition from the Jerusalem leaders. He says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They wanted them not to teach anymore. He said, "There's nothing we can speak but those things that we've seen and heard. This stuff's real." And so too in our lives, this stuff is real. Acts 8 and 6, Philip in Samaria, and this is actually during Saul's reign before he became Paul, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Paul addressing the mob in Jerusalem about his conversion in Acts 22 and 15 says, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." And then in verse 16 he says, "And what doth hinder us now? Arise and be baptized." Put on that covering, because it's going to be the start of something great in your life. Jesus has allowed for you and I to be covered with his blood, so that just like Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden for by the sweat of their brow to till the ground. Could that have been a type and a shadow of the church who was now covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to go out like the parable of the sower talks about and till the ground because his covering is on us? Now, here's what I want you to see. That word, when he made them coats, it was a covering. I looked up that word thinking, what defines it? What is it? And that word, he made them coats of skin and clothed them. That word clothed means this: to be fully clothed, provided with clothes, or this is what blew me away, or endowed with a particular quality, the skin. And then here was the last definition of that. It said, you have been clothed with power from on high. So why do we listen to those voices that tell us it's not necessary? Why do they want to convince people, no, you don't need to do that? We face that so much at the Racine Correctional Institute. There's always a battle in there about baptism. Please remember this: endowed with a particular quality. No one can clothe you and I the way Jesus can. And then you have been clothed with power from on high. So I ask you, is the covering important? Is the blood of Jesus important in your life and my life? Oh, my Lord. Amen. You're doing the right thing. We have the right teaching. I have an app on this iPad that Pastor Schumacher gave me years ago, and that word clothed them. Most of the words have a line under them, and you press it and the definition comes up. Well, this word clothed didn't have a line under it, but then I can press on that word and there's this little magnifying glass that comes up to it. And then it asks you, what do you want to do with it? Copy it or define it? And when I press the word define, it's like the Lord said, let me show you how important what you have is and how significant it is to your well-being for the time you walk here on the face of the earth and for eternity. Because just like the ark was preserved, and it allowed for Noah and his family to survive, so too will this vessel be preserved for eternity, because we were pitched on the inside and on the outside. And I've said this before, that bituminous pitch that the ark was pitched with or sealed with, it was a orangish, reddish, black in color. And if I would poke my finger and let that blood hit on this white piece of paper, it would be red at first. And then after it sat for a while, it would turn a blackish red. The blood that he shed for us on Calvary was the pitch that would preserve you and I for eternity. And he paid the full price, so that you and I could make the full trip. Would you stand with me tonight?